of idolatry. And we said this morning that there are signals that our nation, just like other nations in the past that God talks about in the Bible, has been sliding down the slide toward divine judgments. And we're already in divine judgments that have been coming upon us. I would call them remedial judgments. And we're headed for more judgment as a nation. And we need to get ready for that, because the Bible says in Hosea that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And what that means is that Israel and Judah, as they were headed for judgment, they had remedial judgments, they were headed for further judgment, they literally died because they wouldn't get prepared. And so there is a sense in which we need to prepare ourselves physically and in every way concerning the things that are coming down upon us as a nation, and to recognize what's coming down, because we have these signals. And we said this morning that the nation, the reason for these judgments is a root sin and the primary sin. One of the men tell me what that root sin is. What has it been that in Romans 1, verse 24, 26, and 28 talks about it? Kyle, what is the root sin? That's the fruit. But the root sin is turning away from the God of creation. And our nation has turned to evolution. It's taught in the public school, is it not? Is it not? Isn't it taught as science, even though 1 Timothy 6 says it's science, falsely so called? You go to public school, they teach it, don't they? They teach it as gospel. It's a lie, and the textbooks have been proven that it's a lie. Just get Kent Hovind's videos. See Brother Bob if you want, or talk to us, we'll get you. It's a lie. We support Kent Hovind. We don't support the public school system. Well, we have to. We're forced to with our taxes when they're teaching a religion. Not a scientific validated fact, a religion about origins called secular humanism. In the beginning, for eternity, there was a speck, a blob of matter, and that's what created everything else. And so it's taught in our universities. It's taught in our colleges, even though in our founding it wasn't so. So our nation has turned away from the God of the Bible, turned to evolution, and our foolish hearts have been darkened, and we think we're smart. We can send a man to the moon and have all this technology, but you're right. What happened as a result of that is our country has been plunged into bad sin. And we talked about how our nation has turned away from God. We talked about Engle versus Vitality in 1962, the Supreme Court decisions. We talked about all the Supreme Court decisions, taking prayer out of the public school, taking the Bible out of the public school. We've talked about all of the decisions, abortion, giving up the children to murder. All of that shows a turning away from God, turning away from the Bible. Anti-sodomy laws. Now we're making those laws defunct. Getting rid of defending marriage, DOMA. It's been dealt a blow by the Supreme Court, and then finally, homosexual marriage, June of 2015. And all of these things have shown our nation has turned its back on God, and we've turned our back on the Word of God, the King James Bible. You go into many churches today, they're not going to be preaching from this Bible. And our church left this Bible for a time. And I take responsibility for that. But God chastened me and brought me back. I've had people leave the church because of this Bible. They can go ahead and leave it. I'm not leaving it. If they want to get right with God, and come back. Because I want God here. Amen? I don't want it to be like Israel when, remember what happened, the glory was departed. That meant Ichabod was written over the people of God. Their Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines, and they had not the glory of God. The glory was departed. And by the way, churches, I don't care how popular the man is. I don't care if he's on TV. I don't care how good of a Bible teacher he is. there is an element of apostasy in that man. I'm not saying that that man might not be a saved man, he might not be a good man, but he's clouded in this area, and he need, and this is an important area because this is the Word of God. All right, so that's the root sin, turning away from God and His Word. Now we see the fruit of it over the last 60 years, and that was the sermon this morning. The sermon this evening is that we're on the slippery slide down the slide of divine judgments, not only because we've turned away from God and His Word, number two, because your nation has turned to fornication. Fornication. You say, what's fornication? Any kind of sex outside of marriage. And I want you to notice there is a digression of fornication. And we'll look at that in Romans 1, 24. It talks about fornication. Then in verse 26, it talks about a worse form. Let's just look at 1:24 right now. It says there, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What is it saying there? Wherefore, because we gave God up and His Word up, we got into fornication. By the way, when churches and Christians get away from the Word of God and you get away from God, don't be surprised if you get into porno. Don't be surprised if you get into fornication. Don't be surprised if your family gets involved in fornication. It's a serious thing that happens. And it's what's happening to our nation right now. And so fornication and uncleanness, and it's talking about what happened in the 1960s. I remember it well. In the 50s and in my early days, those were the happy days, you know, in this country. But our nation began to turn away from God. And you really saw it after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And then the sexual revolution came in, and free love, free sex, drug, sex, rock and roll. That became the big push in our country that was going on. They had the Woodstock big rock concert up there in Woodstock, New York, and all the young people got together, threw off their clothes, had all kinds of free love and all this kind of junk. And they'd thrown God out of the colleges and university and thrown prayer out of the school and the Bible. And then you see all of these things began to happen. By the way, in 1950, 78% of all U.S. households had a married couple in them. Let me say that again. 1950, 78% of all U.S. households had a married couple in them. In 2010, only, get this, 48% of U.S. households were represented by containing married couples. You see, people began to live together in sin. And it has become the rule that people just live together in sin. They don't get married, and they are fornicating and sinning against Almighty God. That's been going on, and that's because we've thrown God out of our lives. We've thrown God out of our culture. I remember the TV programs in the 1950s and 60s, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith Show, Beverly Hillbillies, all these shows. These were the shows of the time. What's being shown today? What kind of garbage is going up the modern family of today? It's confusion. It's messed up. It's wickedness. Our culture, and you shouldn't watch any of that garbage. Amen. Our culture has gone downhill. And this is the culture of today. And I feel sorry for you young people. You're jaded and you're brought up in this culture and you're hardened in your wicked heart and you're ready to get into sin. And the sin of immorality. And I see it over and over again. I see it by girls in our church. I had a girl one time. She was in our Christian school, and this young lady said to me, I'm leaving the Christian school. I'm going to go to public school. I'm going to go my own way. And she said, Pastor, I just want you to know something. I'm still believing what you said. I'm going to stay a virgin until I'm married. Well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. See, it's one thing to say you're going to do that and then turn away from God. It's not going to happen without God. You know, I tell people God found a virgin and it was a miracle that he did on her. I think it's a miracle today to find a virgin. Well, it's not quite that bad, but without God, it is bad. We're living in wicked, wicked days. And that's the fruit of turning away from God. And so we need to realize that this thing is going on. And the norm of so many young ladies in Scranton are to leave the Bible, to leave God, to leave the preaching of the Word of God. And then what do? They get hooked up with some loser. And they get involved in fornication. Many times they get pregnant. And then they have a baby out of wedlock, and that baby is doomed to a lot of destruction in their life. The best thing you can do for your baby is get married to the person. Because without a covenant relationship or without a marriage or without a home, you're dooming that child, even statistically, to poverty and to destruction. And yet that's where America has gone since the 50s. And it's only getting worse. We're on the slide into God's judgment and rife with immorality. And of course, with that came STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. And it just happened. And once they get the handle on a disease, they begin to get a cure for that disease. Another one pops up they never heard of before. Guess where they're popping up from? God's letting it happen as a judgment. And God hands you over to uncleanness. Do you know it's God's grace and mercy when he keeps you from sexual immorality?
Amen.
If you are a guy here today, I'd say it's God's mercy if you're still a virgin. I'm talking to guys now.
Yep.
I like it when a guy wears a white suit when he gets married. Amen. That's a good thing. I'm wearing a white suit. I've never committed fornication on my wife. Praise the Lord for that. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm saying to you, that's the way it ought to be. And I'm saying that the nation has turned to that kind of a thing going on. And children watch that and they see that and it's being acted out. And yet it gets even worse. I would like you to look with me at Romans chapter 1 and look with me at the next verse, and that's verse 26. Would you follow me? Romans 1:26. For this cause, it says, God gave them up unto what kind of affections? Vile affections. You say, I thought what you're talking about is bad. Well, at least it's man with a woman. This is even worse. Vile affections, for it says, for even their women. Notice that he's saying, it's amazing, even women do this. Women are supposed to be the fair sex. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. What is he saying here? It's getting worse now. It starts with immorality, and people get involved, and then what do they get into? Well, they get into buy. Why? Because I need more shock. I need something different. I need shock. And then what do they get into? Tea. Tea is transsexual. Transgender, it's called. Transsexual. People mutilating their bodies. A man being born a man and letting a knife hack him up like Bruce Jenner. And Bruce Jenner, I just heard, had some regrets about what he's doing.
Amen.
I just heard of a guy that did that. He committed suicide. Not too gay, huh? Not too happy. Receiving in themself, it says, the just recompense of their error, which was meat. Had a lady talk to me. She came to this church. And let me say something. We love everybody. I believe that homosexuals can be saved.
Amen.
Preach the gospel to everybody. You read about it in the Bible. But we're going to say it's a sin, and it's a digression down the scale to judgment. And it's very serious. And so I talked to this lady. She said, well, I, I had a sister that committed suicide. So I can't hear you preaching against this like you do, because I had a sister that committed suicide. I said, well, what was the name of this sibling? I didn't say sister. I said, what was the name? She gave me the name. It was a boy's name. I said, well, then he was a boy. He changed, and it didn't work out too well. She said, well, I just don't believe in judgment. I don't believe that you can judge. Pastor, you can't judge. I said, oh, yeah, we judge all the time. I said, how about your daughter? She's a little girl, elementary girl. I said, what if she wants to go out and mix gin and some other hard liquor? Are you going to let her drink that? She said, oh, absolutely not. I will not do that. I would not let my daughter do that. I said, then you're judging. You're making a judgment that that's not right for your daughter. I said, we have judgments in this world as parents. I said, your home would be chaos if you could not have judgments in your home. God has set up judges. I said, when it says in the Bible, judge not lest ye be judged, that doesn't mean there's supposed to be no judgment in the church. There are no judges in our benches and our courts. No, it simply means don't judge out of your area. I said, my area is the Word of God. When I'm telling you this is sin and this is wrong, this is good for your family, this is good for your children. She said, yeah, well, my daughter just said that, and she stopped going to our church. She said, my daughter just said that when she grows up, she's going to get married. Doesn't matter, just so somebody loves her. How'd that work out for your sibling who was born a guy and changed? Didn't work out too good for him. I said, you need to come back to church. You need to come back to the Word of God. She said, call me back. I want to talk more. We talked quite a while. What I'm saying to you, though, is that this is a digression. It starts with turning away from God and turning away from the Bible and not listening when pastor's preaching. That's where it starts. And then it goes into, you get to be an older person, you get into sexual sin. You start holding hands and kissing and petting with the opposite sex, and then you get into fornication. And then these kinds of things are now happening in our culture. I was up at Viewmont Mall. It was the ugliest female I've seen. I mean, it was not good. And I was going to give him the gospel to the guy, but he had a girl's name and he had a dress on and he was a girl, he said. I talked to him for a while, and I saw we weren't getting too far. I said, hey, what name did your mother and father give you? He said, get out of here right now. I said, I'm going. I said, but you're dishonoring your dad and your mom. God says don't do that. You need to be saved. And you're dishonoring your God. God gave you your sexual assignment. Whether you like it or not, it's the sexual assignment that he gave you. And his grace can help you deal with that. And you need to deal with that. You need to be in a place where that's taught, because anything else is wickedness and it's sin and it's going on in our country. And God says that is an abomination. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, 23, 24, and 27, it says this: thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Isn't that interesting? The low of the low is homosexuality, LGBT. But there's another one coming, and it's animals. And any culture that turns away from God, that's where it winds up. Because when you believe you're like an animal, you don't believe in the God of the Bible, and you're like an animal, guess what? You're going to live like an animal, and that's going to lead you into bestiality. I warn anybody in here, don't mess around with an animal. You say, Pastor, how would you dare say that in a church? It can happen. It can happen. Kids of Christian parents, it can happen. We're wicked people. And in our country, that was criminalized, just like homosexual behavior was criminalized. And I'm not saying to death penalty or anything like that, but I'm saying that that was criminalized behavior at one time before we turned away from God. But I'm simply saying to you that in Canada, just this past week, they passed a law. I mentioned it this morning. Sex with animals is legal, with certain constraints to make sure that we protect. I had a guy come up to me after the sermon. He said, "Pastor, are you really telling me?" And I went into some more detail. I explained it a little bit further to him. He was like, "Oh, man." And I went a step further and I said, "Watch out. I've said this for years. There was going to be legalization of that bestiality." I said, "The next thing you're going to see is a protected class where it will be legal to have pedophilia with children, adults with children, NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association." I'm dealing with stuff like this in my counseling. I'm telling you, stuff like this is going on. And the courts are more and more protecting these people. It's rampant in the public schools. They've thrown God out. They've thrown prayer out. How about all these young teachers and what they're doing with their students? Young girl teachers. It's literally pandemic. And I know what guys think, "Oh, I wish I would have had it," you know. Wickedness. It's wickedness. It's wickedness. And that's the past that's going on in our culture today. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And so God says that this is gonna bring you down. This kind of immorality is gonna destroy you. And what we want for our young ladies is that they're kept pure and they can walk down the aisle with a white dress on. And by the way, what we want for our young guys is that they can walk down the aisle with a white suit on. Whether they wear it or not, they're pure. And I have found that those that have the best physical relationships in marriage are those that didn't violate God's principles. Now, if you did mess up, you need to get to the blood of Jesus tonight. Get under God's word and walk with God. And get second best. Because that's better than third and fourth and fifth and sixth best, because it only gets worse and worse. And God knows what's best for us. And so he's saying that when we throw God out and his word out, it leads us into these things. And in Leviticus 18:28, God tells the nation of Israel that the land spew not. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. What is God saying? When you get involved in immorality, when you get involved in homosexuality, when you get involved in transsexual garbage, when you get involved in bestiality, when you get involved in all of these things, namely pedophilia, when you do all this and you let this happen and you don't watch out for this, the land is going to spew you out. What does that mean? Have you ever eaten something and you just couldn't keep it in your belly? You had to vomit it. You don't like to vomit. You don't want to vomit, but you have to vomit. Because until you vomit, you get no relief. That's where we are in this country. We are this far away from the land saying, "I am no longer going to tolerate the American lifestyle. I'm going to vomit it out." And so tonight, I am raising that flag and saying that we are very, very close. And I mentioned it this morning. I'll mention it again tonight. God came to that point with the Amorites or the Canaanites. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is now filled up. I am going to bring in judgment. And who did he bring in to judge them? A man by the name of Joshua. You know what the name Joshua is? Jesus. You say, "Little Jesus? Sweet in the manger?" Yes, the one that died on the cross, he's going to judge the world. And the blood is going to flow all over his garments from people. Did you know that? People don't even know that. At his second coming, the Bible says his blood, his garments will be stained with the blood of people. who get more and more into this immorality and will not repent and will not get right. And also he judges now from heaven nations and people, and the land spews them out. And that's where we are headed. And my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to recognize where we are in this gap. You say, Pastor, where are we? We're very close, which I want to show you, to the end game here. And when God brought Joshua in, listen, every man, every woman, every baby, every child, every animal, because they had been involved in bestiality, every animal had to be killed by Joshua and his soldier. People say, why did that happen? Why did they do it? God had to clean house. It was gross. It was dirty. Some of you need to clean house in your music.
Amen.
In your music. Some of you need to clean house in your computer and your cell phone. Some of you young people, you need to follow the rules of the school and get off your Facebook this summer, or you may not be back. You need to clean house. We need to clean house because we tend to get away from God, and the land is going to spew you out, he says. And God gave them that warning, and then judgment fell on the Canaanites, and there was no deliverance for them. It was a time of judgment, and so you watch out as a professing Christian that you're right with God, because the signals that your nation is sliding down the slide of divine judgments are upon us because we've turned our back on God and his word, because your nation has turned to sexual immorality, and thirdly, because your nation has been treading on dangerous ground. My father used to say, my father was like a rattlesnake. One time my father shot a rattlesnake. We were out hunting and a rattlesnake started rattling, and he had a shotgun. He went boom, and he shot that rattlesnake. He cut the rattle off, and he used to keep it at home and shake that rattle. And sometime my father was like a rattlesnake. I'd be doing something and he'd say, you're treading on dangerous ground. In other words, stop what you're doing and turn around because I'm about to strike. He struck with a belt. I'm about to strike. And when he said that, you're treading on dangerous ground, I knew what that meant. And our country is treading on dangerous ground. Let me tell you, this political correct speech is nothing more, nothing less than taking away our First Amendment privilege of the freedom of speech. Because you just say certain words today and you are condemned, your words are misread, and you're called a racist, or you're called a homophobe, or whatever, you're called a misogynistic creep, or whatever. They got all these words because you're saying something and it doesn't fit in, you get this, with what's correct according to the media elite. Let me tell you something. Our country's treading on dangerous ground. How many have heard of Curt Schilling? Curt Schilling, I don't like to talk about Curt Schilling because I'm a Yankee fan. And Curt Schilling made me very, very mad when he got his foot cut upon so he could pitch in the World Series and the blood was coming out of the sock and he was a hero in that game. And the Yankees had won the first few games of the World Series and the Red Sox won every game after that and beat the Yankees for the first time in years. And boy, that made me mad. Schilling made me mad. But I want to say something good about Curt Schilling. I want to say something good about Curt Schilling. See, he said, a man is a man no matter what they call themselves. I don't care what they are or who they sleep with. Some things are common sense. I've said about Bruce Jenner. He says his name's Caitlin. I said his name's Bruce. The name his parents gave him. And when God calls him at the judgment, he's going to say, Bruce, come up here. Amen. Bruce. It's going to be in a deep masculine voice. God is called he. Bruce, come up here. That's your name, Bruce. No, I'm Caitlin. No, he's not going to say that. Nah, I'm Caitlin. No, he's not going to say that. None of these birds are going to say that. And so Schilling is you know, he's talking the way it is. But ESPN, the sports network, is owned by Walt Disney. The Walt Disney Company. Let me tell you, the Walt Disney Company is doing more to destroy the morals of the young people in our country than anything else. That's how all these little girls are turning into whores through the Walt Disney Company. You check out Hannah Montana and what her father said about what Disney did to his daughter and how they demonically took their daughter away, and how all these girls, Christina Aguilera and all these girls, Britney Spears, and all these girls started out as, quote, Disney girls, and they wound up terrible whores and bisexuals and New World Order wicked women. And Schilling, he made that statement, and then he made another statement. He said this. He said in 2000, I think it was 15, I'm not sure exactly when, on ESPN, he said, only 10% of Islam is radical Islam. But then he added, 1940s Germany, only 7% of Germans were Nazis. Look how that turned out. He did something what Barack Hussein Obama wouldn't say. You notice in this shooting, Barack Obama still wouldn't. He'll call it terrorism, but he will not call it radical Islam. He won't do it. He didn't do it. And by the way, Hillary hasn't done it yet either. Unless Obama says that he's not fit to be president, and Hillary should drop out of the race. But Schilling, he's a Red Sox. He can run, as far as I'm concerned. He at least had enough common sense to know that, and he said that, and ESPN put him on a leave of absence for that statement, and he had to apologize before he was reinstated. After his reinstatement, Curt Schilling spoke out against men being allowed to use the restrooms of women, and for that statement, he was fired by ESPN. Now, as I mentioned, when Schilling played for the Red Sox, he played in that final game of the World Series with blood coming out of his socks and won that game and was the hero of the Red Sox when they beat the Yankees. Yeah. If the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. But when that happened, ESPN made a whole documentary on Schilling, and they showed it and on the Red Sox beating the Yankees. It's a tremendous documentary. Schilling was featured in as a hero. After he made those statements and after they fired him, they cut that whole Schilling part out. You can't see Schilling in there. They got rid of it. What's going on in this country? The people with the power, the people with the authority are going against Almighty God. But let's not forget this. We're treading on dangerous ground. Because God is able to judge corporations. God is able to judge the media. God is able to judge this country. And I think some people are beginning to get the clue. And now we have people like the Bilderbergs that are meeting right now in Dresden, Germany. And they're deciding to put Hillary in power so she can further their agenda to rule the world. Men like Henry Kissinger and others are part of that Bilderberg meeting over there, the one world government elites. And they have their rich media elites there and their corporations and their bankers there. They are against God's moral absolutes. That's why Lindsey Graham went there. Huh. There's a Republican group that goes along, too, with that order. Don't think they don't. And God's word speaks out about those that would go against God's moral absolutes. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, he says this about us treading on dangerous ground. He says, and hath made, speaking of God, one blood. He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. In other words, God determines the borders of a country. He determines the purpose of a country. I said the United States of America has been determined by God and is raised up to get the gospel to the world. And if we don't do it, guess what? God's going to deal with us. By the way, Christian, if you don't go out soul winning and you're in a soul winning church, what does that tell you? Do you know that's one of the main reasons you're here? Do you know that's something that people can't do in heaven? They can't tell people about Jesus Christ and get people saved. I was able to go out Thursday night and meet with a lady that's going through needs that used to go to our church and our school, and I was able to witness and a lady pray to receive Christ. They can't do that in heaven. I'm going to do it tonight after church. I could do things they can't do in heaven. But listen, there are Christians that are fiddling while Rome burns. You're not going out soul winning. You're not taking advantage of the opportunity. Listen, God says that's not what he wants you to do. God's determined our habitation and the purpose of our nation. Jeremiah 18, 7 and 8 says, "At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I'll repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Let me ask you a question. Has God spoken of the judgment of the United States of America? Yes, he has. In his word. Romans chapter 1, I've been telling you about it. These scriptures that I've been giving you speak to America, do they not? Do we need any more? Do we need a special dream or vision? No, God has spoken. The judgment is coming down on America because God has not changed. Malachi 3:6, "I'm the Lord, I change not." God's word hasn't changed. You leave God, you leave his word, you get into sexual immorality, you digress into LGBT, and then you have the president praising it and honoring it and glorifying it, and there's going to be trouble, and we have had trouble, and God warned Israel in 732 BC when the Assyrians struck the land and the hedge of protection was dropped and the bricks began to fall as the Assyrians struck Israel. And 10 years later in 722, AD 722, Israel was taken captive out of their land. God warned them. You say, when did God warn America? More than 10 years ago. September 11, 2001. We had Assyrian-based people strike our country at the World Trade Center. And you know what? People said, what's the significance of that? Our capital is Washington, D.C. No, our capital at the time this country was founded with our first president, George Washington, was New York City. And do you know where this nation was dedicated to God by the men who... The president who was sworn into office in the courthouse there, he walked to a little chapel at Ground Zero, and he dedicated this nation to God. And he said, if this nation turns away from God, it'll be judged. George Washington at Ground Zero. And do you know the only building left standing at Ground Zero was that little chapel where this nation was dedicated to God? And do you know what saved it? When the debris came down, do you know what saved it? It was a sycamore tree that was struck and knocked down, fell down, but it saved the building. And God said to Israel in Isaiah, chapter 9, and you could see it there, verse 10, God says, "The bricks are fallen down." Actually, God didn't say that. He records what the leader said of Israel. He said, "The bricks are falling down." Hey, we just saw the World Trade Center. The bricks were falling down. It says, "But we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." The leaders of the nation of Israel in 732 BC, they said, "Oh, the bricks are falling down. The Assyrians have attacked us, but that's all right. We're going to rebuild." And that's exactly what happened the day after the World Trade Center fell down. You know what happened? After it fell down, Tom Daschle, the Senate Majority Leader, stood up and made a speech from Isaiah 9:10. And he quoted, "The bricks are falling down, but we're going to rebuild." Do you know, after that, at another speech, the man running for the presidency of the United States, John Edwards, he likewise made a speech, said the same thing. Do you know President Barack Obama, when they were to put the inscription up on the Freedom Tower that's been built to replace the World Trade Center as a higher tower, Obama quoted the same basic words and put that up there. Those are the words he chose. What's that a statement of? Not repentance. Listen, when the preacher names your sin, the Holy Spirit points at you, you need to humble yourself. Amen? Instead of fighting the preacher or fighting God, you need to humble yourself. And we need to humble ourselves. And too often we try to cover our sin. And that's what America has been doing. And they actually hewed out stone from the mountain. And they put it there as the cornerstone of the new building. And they built on that corner. They did exactly what the leaders of Israel did. And 10 years later, Israel was judged. Hey, we've been on borrowed time. We've been 15 years later. And guess what? There are more harbingers of judgment that have followed that, which I won't get into them all tonight, but we're on dangerous ground. We're treading on dangerous ground. And you say, well, Pastor, what should we do? We should do 2 Chronicles 7:14, because they planted the cedar tree, the Eretz tree, in place of the tree that was fallen, the sycamore, and they planted that tree. We've done just what Isaiah 9:10 said. God is saying to this nation, you are under judgment. But he said, here's what we should be doing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And shortly, people went to church and they began to call upon God shortly after 9/11. But people have turned away and they're not serious now. And the hearts are hardened. I just wonder how many of you go to prayer. How many of you go to prayer meeting? I said, I just wonder how many of you go to prayer meeting. Every time the doors are open in a local New Testament church, you're a member of it, you ought to be there, amen? And especially when prayer meeting is, because it says, and pray. Doesn't it say, and pray? And pray. Listen, this nation is not going to be spared without crying out to God. The fact that we've been 16 years since 9/11, or 15 years, that shows me that God, somebody's praying. It also shows me God's very merciful. He's very merciful. But we're treading on dangerous ground. God's people need revival. And let me say to you tonight, revival starts with you and me. Not my brother, not my sister, not my wife, it's me. That's where revival starts. And I believe if we get right with God, people will see it in our families, people will see it in our lives, and they'll see that the fire of God is burning in our life. And we desperately need revival today. And so I have a ray of hope, even though we're treading on dangerous ground, even though we're living on borrowed time, even though our nation is right at the end. It's kind of like a person that's very old and very sick and terminal. And you know they're going to die soon. I've been in that situation many times. That's where America is. That's where we are. And so we have a ray of hope. Well, what's the ray of hope? What happened in the days of Jonah? Jonah was called by God to go and warn Nineveh, the nation that judged Israel, to warn Nineveh that you can be saved, but you need to repent because God is going to judge you. And the judgment was going to come right then. And they needed to repent right then. And Jonah said, I'm not going to go. I don't want them to repent. And God had to deal with him and get him right. And then he went to Assyria and he preached to them. And they did repent. And it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. I haven't seen that happening in America yet. But let me tell you, it's not going to happen in Scranton. It's not going to happen in Pennsylvania. It's not going to happen in America, except it happens in the house of God. And we get right with God for real. And we get back to our first love, get back to the first works. Some of you used to win souls. You need to get back to it. And repented of the evil. And then it affected the nation, the Ninevites, Jonah. God used him, and they got right, and they repented. And let me tell you, this nation is going to have to turn back to God to stop, Not to stop the judgment. It's too late to stop it. To slow it down. To give us more time. I'll be honest with you. If we got Hillary Clinton, we'd get what we deserve. 4 more years of Obama, and it would be too late. If we get Donald Trump, it would be a mercy of God if he can do some of the things that needs to be done. But that's not revival. That's not getting our heart right with God. That's just an opportunity for us to get our heart right with God. If you just take a delay and say, "Oh, that's great," you're treading. You're done. You're done. God says this in a sobering warning in his dealing with Judah. Now let's get into that as we come to the end of this message. It says in Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, "Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place." By the way, do you feel like you're living in a strange country? If you're as old as I do, you do feel like that. Because I've lived through the 1950s and 60s and I've seen it all. And I feel like I'm living in a foreign land now. Not the America I grew up in. Not the America I knew. He says, "They've estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents." How'd they do that? We said they built the altar to Moloch and to Baal, and they burned their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal and unto Moloch. We know that. And God says that they have filled the place with the blood of innocents, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Listen, this isn't God's plan for America. Hillary Clinton said, "We've come too far. He wants to bring us back. We're going forward." Going forward into what? Judgment. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the, back away from LGBT. By the way, when the Assyrians hit in AD 732, there was a wall of protection from God that was taken down. I think about this terrorist attack that just happened. The worst mass shooting in the history of America. What does that tell you and me? God's wall of protection is not there like it used to be. 9/11, that was a horrible thing. God protection is from God. You turn away from God and that protection comes down. And the enemy is getting in here. And like I said, the quote-unquote president of the United States couldn't even call it what it is. Couldn't even name it. We got what we deserve. He was elected after 9/11. Judgment. You're treading on dangerous ground. You're living, teenager, on borrowed time. If I were you, I'd get right with God this summer, teenager. Yea, I'd do it tonight. I'd hit the altar hard tonight. I'd get back to God. And if you're hanging around with some kid that's not serious about God, and that kid is moving you away from God, and you're starting to get the attitudes of that kid, don't sit with them and don't spend a lot of time with them. Just spend a lot of time with your youth leaders and spend a lot of time in your church and spend a lot of time with anybody that's serious about God. And if I was playing around in the house and causing trouble with your parents and being a bad testimony at home, and you go to the Christian school, I'd get right with God and say, "God, I've got a bad testimony at home. I want to get right with God. I want to obey my parents. I want to humble myself because judgment's coming down." And you kids won't even live to have a family. I said, you kids won't even live to have a wife or a husband. And kids, unless God gives us more time. And that's his mercy. You need to hit that altar hard and beg God for that mercy. And then that you might use it for good, because he's not going to give it to you if you're going to use it just so you can be selfish and do your thing. Jeremiah 19, 6 through 9, you can read it, and God tells them what's going to happen. And we're coming to the end. Look at Jeremiah 19 and 6 through 9, it says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter." That's where they killed their children. And God said, "I'm going to kill you. I'll make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I." Isn't that what's happening with Islamic threats? "And their carcasses," he says, "will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth." They're not even going to be able to be buried with proper burials. The bodies will fall so much in America, we won't be able to bury our friends, our loved ones, with coffins. They'll lie on the ground like so much dung. That's what God's saying. "And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them," listen to this, "and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters." You'll eat your dead children because you're starving. "And they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall stray." You say, can that happen in America? Yes, it can. The breach has come, 9/11. God's been giving us the warning. Have we turned? No. 15 years, we haven't. Listen, Israel, 732, 10 years, they were gone, 722. Judah, 606, the breach happened. The first invasion happened. And in 586, 20 years later, they were gone, all of them. And he destroyed that city, just like he said. And they did those things in that siege. 20 years. How long has it been since 9/11? Halfway between 15 and 20. Halfway between 10 and 20. 15 years. Israel and Judah, we're right in the middle. How long do we have left? 5 years? Less? More? I can't give you a date, but I can give you what God said. And I'm telling you tonight, we're treading on dangerous ground because we've turned away from God as a nation. We've turned away from the Bible. We've turned to fornication! And we are treading on dangerous ground. And don't think you can't get into it. We need the fear of God. You say, "Pastor, what is the fear of God?" It's to depart from evil. That's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord. That was you're afraid enough of God that you start turning away from doing evil because you know God's serious. Judah, like Nineveh, would not humble themselves. And here's what God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7:27. I'll read it. It says, "Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." God is saying that to the preacher now. It comes to the point where God tells the man of God not even to pray for them. In Jeremiah 7:16, Jeremiah 11:14, and 14:11 and 12, God said, "Don't even pray for them now." Are we to that point yet? I don't think so. I can't say I can't pray for America still, but we're getting close. We're getting close. If Hillary gets elected, whew, I'm praying that she doesn't. My vote will go against her. 14 years before their ultimate destruction, God says to the prophet Jeremiah in AD 600, ultimate destruction was 586. 14 years before, he says to Jeremiah, "Therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." I don't believe we've come to that place, but we're very close. Some men believe we're already there. I believe God's going to judge America, no doubt. But I can still pray for repentance. I can still pray for revival, but we're very close. May God help us tonight to do what 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by thy name, shall humble yourself, you'll pray, you'll seek God's face, you'll turn from your wicked ways, you'll turn to God, he'll hear." And that's what we need. We need to have God hear. Let's bow.